Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and maybe you're familiar with some of the ironies of corporate philanthropy, curing heart disease in women by selling Diet Coke, or creating jobs in countries with environmental problems by selling bottled water. Advertisers tell us that by buying their products, we're helping someone. Is it ever true? Joining me is Dr. Mira Einstein, Associate Professor of Media Studies at Queen's College and author of a new book called Compassion, Inc., How Corporate America Blurs the Line Between What We Buy, Who We Are, and Those We Help. Dr. Einstein, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
So campaigns like Gap's Red and Show Your Helping Hand, Hamburger Helper's collaboration with Beyonce and Feeding America, selling products and then donate part of the profit to charity. It seems like a great idea. People are already shopping, so why not use that momentum to raise money for people in need? What's so wrong with that?
Well, there's several things wrong with it. First of all, we don't know how much money from the sale of every product is actually going to the charity. Some products actually will put information on the package or in an advertisement saying this is how much money is going to the charity, but not all of them do. In fact, most of them don't. Even if they do put the amount of money that is going to the charity on the packaging, there may be a second mechanism involved. So, for instance, it may say that there's a dollar on the package, but you may actually have to go online and input a bunch of information into what ultimately becomes a database for the corporation as a means to actually trigger that donation. There's also a lot of issues in terms of who becomes the best charitable marketer becomes the organization that receives the most funding. And I think people probably know this most in terms of the Komen Foundation, Susan G. Komen for the Cure. What's happened because of that is women, and I think probably most people overall, have begun to think that breast cancer is the primary cause of death for women, and actually it isn't. And it's only we only think that way because they're really good marketers of that particular charity.
What is?
Heart disease.
212-433-WNYC if you want to get in on this conversation about charities and corporations with Mara Einstein, Associate Professor of Media Studies at Queen's College, author of Compassion, Inc. Are you more likely to buy something if you know some of the money will go to charity? Do you stop and look how much or how? 212-433-9692. Does seeing a ribbon, pink, yellow, or otherwise, make you more likely to buy one product or over another? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What do you advocate?
What happens is that corporations actually work in terms of philanthropy over a spectrum, and it goes from regulation, fulfilling regulations that they have to fulfill, to what's known as social innovation. Cause marketing, which is the pink ribbons and the red dresses and so on, is sort of in the middle of that spectrum. What I'm advocating for is what's known as social innovation. And social innovation is when corporations actually fundamentally look at the different ways that they do business and change that. So one of the examples that I give in the book is for a company called Interface Carpet. And Interface Carpet, made from petroleum products and so on and so forth, not very environmentally friendly, went back and looked at how it makes carpets, how carpets are recycled and so on, and fundamentally changed that to the point where by 2020, they are committed to using all sustainable materials to make their carpet. And they've already begun a recycling program whereby they've taken 100,000 tons of carpeting out of landfills or kept them from going into landfills.
But isn't that a different category than what we were talking about before? Sure, we would want every company to act in an environmentally sound way, treat their workers well, that kind of thing. But that's different than devoting part of their profits to curing heart disease or, getting shoes to kids in the developing world or whatever it is.
Well, part of it is it's on a spectrum of social responsibility or corporate responsibility. And companies look at cause marketing as part of their responsibility initiatives. It's also part of corporate social responsibility. But corporate social responsibility is more about public relations than it really is about doing something good. And I would look at that in terms of what something like Interface Carpet does is they do something good and try to get caught doing it, as opposed to what most CSR campaigns are, which is all about telling people how wonderful we are and how much money we're giving to charity. The other issue with cause marketing in particular is cause marketing used to be part of a public relations initiative. It was a way for companies to give back and do good and then have goodwill created around the company. But what has happened since is that cause marketing initiatives have moved into the marketing departments. And so raising money for charity has actually become more beneficial to the company in terms of putting money on their bottom line.
Here's a consumer who's wary of the whole cause marketing thing. Michelle in Bridgewater, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you for making it.
Yeah, I actually get turned off when I see a company advertising that a part of my money for this particular product is going towards something else. I almost have a bad reaction when I see all that pink. And it's not because I don't believe in giving to charity. I want to give to the charities I want to give to, but I don't want to be pressured to buy a flip-flop because the money's going to charity. I'd rather have the companies just, you know, make their donation based on the fact that they want to help people out and not sell their products.
Yeah, and that's exactly the issue. What you're talking about is exactly right. What has happened over the last 10 years or so is that companies have come to see that people want the brands that they use to be embedded with their values. So a good way to do that is a company like Ben & Jerry's, right? They're a very philanthropic company in and of themselves, which is also part of that sort of social innovation thing I was talking about. But what is happening is that so many companies are using this cause marketing initiative that consumers are starting to pedal back on it, and there's starting to be a consumer backlash against companies that are using cause marketing.
Your book is timely for one reason, considering the controversy about the Kony 2012 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And some critics claim that the message is oversimplified. It implies that you can overthrow a Ugandan warlord for the cheap price of a $30 action kit.
Mm-hmm.
Buying stickers and posters can make you feel like you're contributing to a cause by what they call increasing awareness throughout, you know, the raising awareness world. But when is awareness just another word for advertising?
Well, that's really exactly the issue, and that's what a lot of people are doing. Even if you look at something like the pink ribbons, one of the things that I discovered in doing the research is I thought pink ribbons, okay, Komen, maybe the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, maybe Avon, and there's a number of organizations that do use the pink ribbon, but there's also organizations that make up their own pink ribbon and put it on a package, and it's not sending money to any organization, and they argue that it's just about increasing awareness. The same thing would be said about something like Product Red, which was the campaign that Bono created with Apple and Gap and so on. Does anyone not know that kids are dying from AIDS in Africa? You know, the argument becomes this is a way for us to increase awareness. I think most people know that.
It's very easy for us in affluent America to forget or ignore that kids are dying from AIDS in Africa.
Well, it could be, but to put it within the context of a consumer marketplace, there's a difference between activism and raising money for consumer goods companies. And most of those consumer goods companies are upscale products. We're talking about an iPod Nano. We're talking about a Motorola cell phone. We're talking about AX products and Bugaboo strollers, which sell for something like $1,900. Go out and buy a McLaren's for $200 and take the $1,700 and write a check for Kids to AIDS in Africa.
Zaka in Sparkill, you're on WNYC. Did I say your name right?
Hi, it's Dasha.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I have a question for Mara about the Tom's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
How if you buy one, they donate a pair to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that true? Is that also a marketing ploy?
No, that's true. The issue.
You praise Tom's in the book, right?
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about Tom's. On the one hand, I like the idea of give one, you know, buy one, get one. On the other hand, Tom's shoes are again, an expensive consumer product. And there's organizations that do it better. There's an organization called Soul for Soul, which is a charitable organization. You can pay $1 and a free shoe goes to someone in need. Whereas with Tom's, you're paying $50 for a shoe to go to someone in need.
And then there's Warby Parker Glasses, now doing the same thing with glasses.
That's not something, not one that I'm familiar with yet.
Not familiar with it.
Yeah.
You write that it's important to drop the word consumer.
Mm.
Tell us why.
More and more we talk about ourselves, and certainly marketers talk about us as consumers. And if we always think about ourselves as someone that is buying something, or if you really look at the word consumer, using something, then that becomes the frame through which we understand ourselves. That's how we create who we are. One of the reasons why that's happened is as brands have become more important in our lives and other social institutions have become less important, those become the way that we create our identity. So we use iPods, we drink Starbucks coffee, and we're less likely to be identified with the families that we come from or the churches that we belong to.
Mara Einstein, Associate Professor of Media Studies at Queens College and the author now of Compassion, Inc., How Corporate America Blurs the Line Between What We Buy, Who We Are, and Those We Help. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come, 5 novels that could have won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. The Pulitzers were announced yesterday, and the entire fiction writing world was snubbed when the prizes were announced. No Pulitzer Prize for fiction this year. So we will talk to a bookstore owner who has some strong ideas about books that might have been worthy, and we will take yours. What did you read in 2011 that you think was worthy of the Pulitzer Prize for fiction? That is, what did you read that was released in 2011 that you think should have qualified for the Pulitzer Prize for fiction? Call us up with your list. If nothing else, your fellow WNYC listeners will get some good suggestions of books to read. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.